Thank you so much for joining us again for the Word for Life Radio Ministry. We've been talking to Randy Ryan Melchert, who from early childhood had an interest in what was going on around you, Randy, and it had eventually led you into political activity and even running for offices, that kind of a thing. But, you know, we talk about that and your interest, and you'd read the paper and all that type of thing. Does it bother you that a lot of the younger people never pick up anything like that that's educational? It's video games and electronics and texting, and that seems to be a concern.
And it is. And that's especially when you're reading through the Bible, you realize that the Bible addresses every area of life.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't address just going to church.
Right.
It addresses how you should conduct yourself in business.
Mm-hmm.
It addresses what safety devices you should have in your house.
Right.
To make sure that you're not creating an environment where people
mm-hmm.
are going to get injured.
Mm-hmm.
It addresses public policy. That was actually when I was thinking about running back in 08. You know, I'd be reading through the Bible and I'm noticing it's talking quite a bit about government.
Yes, yes.
In fact, it has a couple of books called First and Second Kings.
Exactly.
And yeah. So just as you're reading through it, mm-hmm. was just noticing some of the things. I mean, Proverbs, where it goes through, Proverbs 29:2 talks about that when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn.
Right.
Proverbs 29:12 talks about that if a ruler hearkens to lies, all his servants are wicked, mm-hmm. that you have all these things that much of the Bible is written by people in government.
Right.
King David, King Solomon. Writing to their sons who would be in government, what is good public policy?
Right.
What is the good standards for government?
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you compare back to the times of Israel, where you had a monarchy, most people weren't able to be involved in their government.
Right.
You look at the Roman Empire, where you had Caesar that was ruling his empire. The Jews never got to have elections to elect the next Caesar.
Right.
But here today, we have an opportunity to help pick our leaders
mm-hmm.
to influence what way we want our society to go, whether it's at a local level and it's zoning issues, whether it's at a county level and how the county health and human services budget gets spent, whether it's at a state level, what laws are we going to pass? What statutes are we going to do? Are we going to let parents pick what school they want their kids to attend?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or are we going to say that no, that parents only get one neighborhood public school to attend? And if that public school is struggling, well, that's just too bad.
Right.
And that's some of the issues that we've got, realizing that affects every area of life
mm-hmm.
and that this is an opportunity that, you know, it's not requiring that you be a constant political junkie. Doesn't mean that you have to have the cable news on 24/7 and be reading every email.
Right.
But just a basic level of understanding, because the Bible talks that we need to be involved. Hebrews 13:17 tells us to obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. That we have a responsibility to obey them.
Mm-hmm.
First Peter talks about to honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, but honor the king.
Yeah, yeah.
And in America, we're under a constitution that says that the highest authority is we the people, and that we have an obligation not just to pay our taxes,
right,
but to be participatory in this government.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, as they say, you know, if you don't vote, you can't complain about what's going on.
That's right. And a lot of people fuss about how much money is spent on elections, and they say, well, that vote was bought. And let's just be honest with ourselves. So much of this money goes into the advertising department and newspapers and TV and mail outs and all that kind of thing. So that's the time of the year to be involved in that. You know, you can make a gobble money because they're spending millions of dollars to get the word out. Now, here's the key. To get the word out. You know, now, obviously, you will be reading some things. You're going, oh, seriously, do they really expect me to believe that? And the answer is yes. They really expect you to believe that because a lot of people will read something and say, well, I guess that must be true. That's what they say. You know, but we have to be looking for people of integrity that are running for office. And that's why I think what you are doing and what you're encouraging others to do is helping find people who are people of integrity. Whose word can be trusted, who once they speak, you can say, okay, that's the direction I think our country, our city, our county needs to go, our village, whatever it might be. And these are the kind of people that we need to speak for us.
And that's actually what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people talk about, well, it's, you know, all these people there. What's interesting is watching some of these elections. A few years ago, there was a candidate, an incumbent state senator. He was running for re-election, and it had come out that he had left his wife of 40 years and was living with an intern half his age, some lobbyist, whatever, he ends up losing that race that he should have won by a few points. What's kind of interesting is watching how God is using people to judge people are saying. There was at least two people just in Wisconsin this November election that weren't on the ballot because some of their sins had come to light, that some of where they had been involved and where they could have been in office forever. They were good politicians.
Right.
They had a good district. But because of their sin, they weren't on the ballot and didn't come out. And God is judging them. That
yes.
It's just some of those things that you look at and you realize that, you know what, as the Bible talks about, be sure your sin will find you out. Well, on the other hand, we've seen some great people of principle, people that I've had the opportunity to
statesmen, help. Statesmen, not politicians.
And especially at the local level.
Yeah.
In fact, one of the candidates was standing for traditional marriage, a position that's become unpopular
right,
in many areas.
Right.
And some of the different political experts were telling her, you know, don't bring it up. In her race, she was the only one who said that, you know, that she believes that marriage is between a man and a woman.
Right.
The other candidates were taking a more compromised position.
Right.
She told me, you know, I'd rather lose on something I believe in than win on something I don't.
Right.
And in a three-way election, she ended up winning with 60% of the vote.
My goodness.
Her only piece wasn't a negative piece. All she did was a newspaper interview that was asking the candidates, well, what's your position on marriage? She reprinted the entire interview, didn't make any edits, didn't attack any other candidates, and just as part of her mailer, just letting other people in the area know, this is what they asked us, this is what each of us said. And she was getting calls for days after, you know what, I'm pro-life, I like what you said, where can I get a yard sign? I'm pro-life, where can I get a yard sign? I read this, I'm ashamed of what this guy said, he goes to my church, how can he be saying this? I'm calling through my church directory, I'm ashamed of what he said. We'd hear from people who say, yeah, I was going to church and out in the parking lot, somebody was giving out copies of your flyer. I read it and I really like what you said. And it's a great opportunity to where you find the people that share your same values, that share your beliefs. And that's what's real exciting is that by the end of the event, you've made friends with so many people who like you, want to make a difference. They're not there just to go along to get along. They want people of integrity, people of courage, people who have values and are willing to stick to them.
And, you know, reading the Bible, the principles that Jesus taught, reading Proverbs, you know, so many issues of life are dealt with in Proverbs. So many times we could just answer the questions, well, you know, the Bible says, oh, my goodness, you know, hullabaloo will blow up here. Oh, we can't quote the Bible. Well, you may not be able to, but I personally believe the Bible.
But at the same time, when candidates go against the Bible, I'll talk to people and they say, well, I think we should keep church and state separate. I'm like, well, don't you want a politician that's not going to lie to you, a politician that won't steal from you, a politician who believes that corruption is wrong, that it's immoral to lie to the voters?
Yes, yes.
All of a sudden they're like, well, yeah. You know, yes. They say, well, you shouldn't be legislating morality. I'm like, well, don't you want somebody that believes that that murder is bad,
right,
that crime is bad, that certain things are bad? And people say, oh, you know, haven't thought about it that way.
Right, right.
If we don't have any kind of moral foundation, that's not what anybody wants. People want people of integrity, people who believe in the Ten Commandments and follow them.
And those kind of people aren't necessarily the most popular people, because I know I'm a history buff, and especially World War II, that kind of a thing, and just finished this huge biography of Winston Churchill. And for the majority of his life, he was laughed at. Parliament wouldn't hardly listen. If he got up to speak, three-fourths of them would get up and walk out. I mean, just nobody would listen to him until the war actually broke out, until Austria was invaded by Hitler, and until, and pretty soon the people of England began to pressure their elected officials, we want someone who will stand against this corruption and this devilish foolishness that we see going on, and if you guys won't, and so before we knew it, Winston Churchill was the man. Now, if you're looking to be popular, a Christian politician, statesman, a lot of those times are not good, happy times.
No, I mean, thinking also of William Wilberforce.
Yes.
During a little bit earlier in British history, somebody who for 40 years in Parliament was arguing against the slave trade.
Right.
And, I mean, just going back to the thing about, well, we shouldn't be legislating morality, that it was evangelical Christians that were the first people in the history of the modern world to say that slavery was wrong,
mm-hmm.
and that he spent decade after decade, the movie that came out recently, Amazing Grace,
yes.
it was John Newton and some of these evangelical Christian
right.
leaders
right.
that said, you know what, this is wrong, we need to do something about it. And he was unpopular, he was mocked at.
Yes.
But eventually, people came to realize, you know what, you're right. Looking today at the pro-life issue,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, early on, well, it was very controversial, but what we're seeing almost in every poll that's coming out, more and more young people are realizing, you know what, that's right, that, you know what, it is.
Yeah.
It is a baby.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
you know, this is wrong. And some of the other issues we're seeing today among youth are kind of sad, but what we're seeing is that, I mean, some of these kids, they're trying to have babies out of wedlock just because they're looking for somebody to love them.
Mm-hmm.
But they are realizing.
Right.
That it's a baby from the first moment.
Right.
And just some of these issues that it's been Christian leaders who said, you know what, I don't need to be popular right now.
Right.
I will be on the right side of history.
Exactly.
Once history catches up, we'll be yeah. on the right side of history.
And one of the most beloved presidents in the United States, Abraham Lincoln, for so much of his time was just laughed at, ridiculed, and especially when he began to talk about the Emancipation Proclamation. Oh, my goodness, they thought, that is the dumbest thing you have ever done. But I honestly believe God was getting a hold of his heart, and then the testimony of his salvation after Gettysburg,
yes.
and to recognize that the Spirit of God had him in a place of influence. And it just reminds me, Randy, that we may have some people who are not born-again believers who don't have the Spirit of God within them, but boy, they sure can. They can come to the point, and it kind of reminds me, we as believers do them a disservice by not praying for them, praying for their salvation, praying for someone to kind of get the Word of God to them.
And nowhere in the Bible does it say that we need to complain about our leaders.
Right, right.
Too many people think that's our only biblical duty, is we just need to complain about how awful the governor is or the president is or whoever's the guy we don't like at
yeah,
that time.
Yeah.
That we have a responsibility to pray for them,
mm-hmm.
that we can be ministering to them. And that's one of the areas that when we had our civil servant service here,
mm-hmm.
just helping people realize even just how many government officials there are.
Right.
That we're able to put together just a prayer guide helping people realize that starting at your village board or your city council,
right.
you may have a dozen people right there, your city mayor, your municipal judge.
Mm-hmm.
In Wisconsin, municipal judges handle the first DUI incident that somebody has.
Uh-huh.
That even if you're just a municipal judge, you're handling some pretty major cases.
Exactly.
Pretty significant parts of society.
Right.
And that even these people just at a municipal level.
Right.
To pray for them, to write them a note and let them know, hey, we're praying for you.
Right.
A friend of mine worked in state legislature, and I asked him, well, how many letters do you think average state rep gets? Maybe about 3 to 5 a week. And just being able to reach out to them is an incredible opportunity to let them know, you know what, we're praying for you. And that means so much to these people as they're facing hostility, facing trials, facing difficulties.
Right. Folks, we've run out of time. Join us next time. We will continue this conversation.